struggling, has got a lot of problems. And so he writes this first letter to the Corinthian people. So this church is really for the people of that church, those who are believers. And he wants to remind them of some things and trying to get them back on the right track through a letter. So we're going to open up our Bibles here today. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And as you turn there, I just want to open up in prayer. Father, again, as we have assembled ourselves this morning to take in your word, we pray, Father, that our hearts would be open, our spirit would be wide, and receive what you would have for us this morning, that we may grow in our walk with you. So give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you'd have for us today through your word. In Christ's name, amen. So we see Paul is writing this letter to his people. He loves this group of people. He loves this. This is a church plant, of one of his church plants there, and they are struggling. And so they have a group of that I'm sure that are mature in Christ and several that are immature, just learning. And also there are things that have crept in this church and has caused some problems. And so he wants to remind him of some things. But here in chapter 2, he does say this. He says in verse 1, "When I came to you, brothers and sisters, announcing the mystery of God to you, I did not come with brilliance of speech or wisdom. I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not be based on human wisdom, but on God's power." Here Paul just kind of opens it up, and he's sharing with them that I didn't come with a bunch of big words. I didn't come with a brilliant speech. I didn't come out with a big show to show you that I am all that. I come to share with you what Jesus did and who Jesus is and Jesus crucified. It is the gospel. That's what he said. I came and he goes, I brought this to you, started this church this way with it all surrounding about Jesus and being the crucified Christ and that salvation and what the gospel is. Didn't come in with all kinds of other things to persuade people or anything. He just spoke and preached the truth. But he says, my speech and my preaching were not without persuasive words. We're not with persuasive words, but wisdom, but with the demonstration of the Spirit. It's one thing I can just relate, you know, just to knowing that even for myself, there's no really reason for me to be up here except for that God called me. That's it. And that I'm not gonna use big persuasive words and bring up things to draw a crowd and just those kind of things. I think it's just letting God be God, let the Holy Spirit do His work, and do what God's called you to do. Amen. And He's reminding them that's what it was. He says, and this is not based on human wisdom, but on God's power. When we let God use His power, we allow God to be a part of what we're doing, then we can see God move. But then when he goes into some little bit more deeper pieces, he says this in verse 6, "We do, however, speak a wisdom among the mature, but not wisdom of this age or the wisdom or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing." I just want to break there for a moment. He says, speaking wisdom, this is not about the wisdom of this age, which means the wisdom of what's going on right now, the wisdom and knowledge of this day and time. It's not about that. He says it's not about the rulers of this age. It's not about any darkness. It's not about any demonic powers, any of that wisdom, or none of that knowledge, none of that stuff. He says, who are coming to nothing. That's all coming to nothing. But he says, on the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages for our glory. And none of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom because they had known it. If they have known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as is written, when no one has seen, no ear has heard, no human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for those who love Him. Here we see that God has prepared some things for us, and sometimes we just don't see it. If you take a checkerboard and you lay a board out, and it's a checkerboard, right? You first thing you learn how to play checkers on a checkerboard. But here's the thing. Some of us would like, I don't play checkers, but I do play chess. And when you're a kid and you learn how to play checker, you see the board is a checkerboard and you play checkers on a checkered board. But as you grow past that, you begin to say, hey, what is that over there? And you begin to see that you can put some other pieces on it. And when you first see a chessboard, it is the same as a checkerboard. But the pieces are a little bit different. They move differently and all those things there. And I think sometimes we as Christians, we grow up learning to play checkers, spiritual checkers, but we never get to really play in like spiritual chess. So we struggle with that. And I think Paul is just saying, guys, it's time to grow up. It's time to move forward. It's time to go on. See the board, not just as checkers moving forward, but look at it as a masterpiece. It is a masterpiece where things are moving more than what you can even imagine. And I think God has got that. There's more than what you can even imagine when you let God be a part of your life. And he's saying, a wisdom God prepared to destine before the ages of glory. And so God had a plan for all of this. God had a plan for all of this and you and I. But here's the thing. He has things that we would never understand. No eyes seen, no hear. Nobody has understood it. And then when Jesus came, we begin to understand these things. And so now we need to look at these things in life. And as a believer, we need to look at this stuff and know that we can be stronger, better, more faithful in all that we do. Once we begin to understand that we need to grow in our walk with him. He says in verse 10, now he gets into these things. Now, verse 10, he says, now God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit, since the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Because the Spirit is God. Scripture tells us the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our encourager. He's our guidance. He's all these things. He speaks to us because it's God's Spirit. He speaks to us. He convicts us of sin. He convicts us of to do something. He leads us in the ways of righteousness. He leads us down the right path. He's always trying to get us into the right way, the right path, always pushing us back online, always, always. And because that's God is wanting us to align with him. And so we see that God searches even the deeper things. He knows more about you than you know yourself. Yeah. God knows more about you than what you know of yourself. Those things you say, I would never do that. I would never do that. I would not do this. I would not do that. That's our hope and that's our maybe our pledge, our hope, our promise to ourselves. But we have failed many times in that area. And God knows us. But yet God is still patient with us. God still cares and gives mercy on us. But the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. That is something for us to come to just take in for a moment. But he goes on, he says, for who knows a person's thought? Who knows a person's thoughts except his Spirit within him? And in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit. Lost people do not understand all what we're talking about right now. If you're a believer in God, you should understand that. That when you become a believer, God indwells and puts inside of you his Holy Spirit. Because we need that guidance on how to live a life that's pleasing to God. We have salvation, but we also have the Holy Spirit. Once we have salvation, we are sealed to that day of redemption. And God has put that Holy Spirit inside of us. And it is to lead us into the ways of the Lord and to follow his ways. But he says, who knows the thoughts of a man? Who knows truly the thoughts of a man? God does. God's Spirit does. And God gives us the Spirit. He says, now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what is freely given to us by God. I think we need to understand that we that are believers need to understand that we have been given something that is so powerful and so... This is what Satan loves to do. Satan loves to diminish you and say you are no good. You're nothing. You're a sinner before God. You're nothing. The more he continues to do that, the more we listen to it, the more we will realize and believe and think and believe these lies that we are nothing. But when you begin to understand who lives in you, what is inside of you, when you begin to understand that the Holy Spirit is inside of you, there really should be no fear of anything. That doesn't make you prideful. It shouldn't make you prideful, or it shouldn't make you feel like you're better than others. No, it's just that God has chosen to put His Holy Spirit inside of each believer. Inside of each believer is a living peace. It is His Holy Spirit. And it's world, it moves. It is alive. It's a spiritual heartbeat that leads you down the road of righteousness. It leads you toward the Lord. And it calls you to do things. It convicts you not to do things. It is alive and well. This is why when you read God's Word, you go, well, I didn't understand that before. And when you read God's Word, you find out, how did I get on this page? I wasn't even intending to read this scripture. I wasn't even intending to read that book in the Bible. I wasn't even intending that. And God uses His Word to speak to us, led by the Holy Spirit, giving you understanding of the Holy Scriptures. Listen, the world cannot, if there's what, this book, the world cannot understand it. They can read it, and they may understand some of it, but they are not going to understand the spiritual side of it. You can only understand spiritual things with the spiritual spirit, the Holy Spirit. This is, how do you think that Phil and I preach? How do you think do you think that we are so smart that we have figured this out? I can speak for myself. I won't speak for Phil. I would be the last person on the earth to do what I'm doing this morning. And I may not come in here knocking your socks off by jumping around. I just want to give you some truth. I want you to know that it's not about get your best life now. It's about understanding who's in you right now. And that is the Holy Spirit who's inside of you, that you can work through any problem that you got. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will allow you to go through hardships because the Lord wants you to break you down. He wants to get some things out of your life. Your heart sometimes needs to break so you understand what brokenness feels like. It's all kinds of things. The Holy Spirit is alive and working through each believer, pushing and pulling and tugging. It is so active. It even works even sometimes in the midnight hours when you are dreaming of things that you had no idea that God's calling you to do something. Or why am I having these dreams all the time? The dark side does it too. But I'm just saying, here it is. The Holy Spirit is moving. Even when you need physical sleep, sometimes the Holy Spirit is even working when you're sleeping and giving you visions of your future. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God that God gives to each believer. I'm going to keep saying that because we need to know who is living inside of us. This is why the Bible says it. This is why the Bible tells us that our body is a temple. We need to keep it holy. It's not, oh, this is my body and I can do it. No. The Bible says you were bought at a price. And the price is the blood of Christ. You were bought at a price. You need to understand. And listen, the mature know this morning. But the rest of us, I need to keep learning myself too. Here it is. My life is not my own anymore. It's done. It's over. That old, whatever I wanted, that's over. It's done. When you let God be God and He leads, I'm telling you, you will see, you will feel, you will know the things that God has before you. Sometimes you have to search and find, but it's part of the process. We also speak. Verse 13, we also speak these things, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. What? We also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom. Here he goes. But in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. Paul's cutting the line right down the path. He says, listen, there are spiritual people and there are non-spiritual people. Spiritual people are the people that love the Lord, that have Christ in their life, that have salvation. They have the Holy Spirit. They begin to understand spiritual things. And they begin to understand, and there are people that teach about the spiritual things because they had the Holy Spirit. The Lord has worked with them to share, to become teachers and preachers and all that, to be able to share spiritual things to spiritual people. Okay? And so here we find that he is calling these people to start growing in their walk, start understanding about spiritual things. Listen, spiritual warfare happens a lot more than what you think it does. And you that are spiritual or living in your walk with the Lord know that spiritual warfare happens not just randomly from 1 year, maybe 3 years later. No, you are in spiritual warfare a lot of times, all the time. But it doesn't have to take over. It doesn't have to win all the time. It doesn't have to take over your life. You just have to know how to take on those spiritual things. Verse 14 says this, but the person without the Spirit does not receive what comes from God's Spirit. So once again, you are privileged because you get what comes from God because you are a spiritual. Those who do not have the Spirit do not get those things, spiritual things from God. But the person without the Spirit does not receive what comes from God's Spirit. Because it is foolishness to him. He is not able to understand it since it is evaluated spiritually. I go back. It's time to stop playing checkers and start playing some chess. And I want to tell you one thing about checkers. It's very simple. It's a simple game. There's simple things in spirituality that we learn as new believers. But when we graduate, we start moving forward. We start playing that big game of chess. I'm telling you, it's a lifelong learning game. It can be complicated. But once you know where the pieces do and the basic pieces, how they move, the game becomes more easier. And I'm afraid a lot of us don't understand spiritual things because we're not that spiritual. We're struggling in our spiritual life because we're struggling with our relationship with Christ. We're struggling making decisions in life because we're making decisions with worldly wisdom instead of spiritual wisdom. We're wondering why things are always not working right and they should be working better, but we're making bad decisions because we're not doing and making decisions spiritually, but we're making them in the flesh. Even though we live in the flesh and we live in the flesh, the flesh shouldn't lead. The spiritual should be leading us. The biggest question I usually get in this area is, how do I know I have the Holy Spirit? Well, number one, the Bible tells us when we have Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. But then we struggle and we say, well, how do I know? I don't feel it. Listen, this is because we struggle because we don't read. We're not reading the Bible as we should. The Bible tells us and gives us those answers. It's tackling the harder books like Romans. It's tackling those harder books. It's tackling some of the deeper scriptures such as right here in this what we're doing today. Or going into Hebrews and tackling some of that. Some of the spiritual things that are there. We can't eat sweets and candy all the time. We have to eat some meat and eat some of the spiritual things that we may not want to eat. But we need to learn and understand that God's Spirit dwells in each believer. And then when we have a disagreement with two people who are believers, does that mean that God is in contradicting His own Spirit? No, it's our flesh rises up. Our flesh rises up. When you can win spiritually, let me just say this, you win. You win. And it isn't winning. I'm not talking about who's right, who's wrong. I'm talking about making the decisions, following the voice of the Lord. But the person who The person without the Spirit does not receive what comes from God's Spirit. But verse 15 says, the spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything. What? The spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything. Yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. Because who does the evaluating? The Holy Spirit. It helps you to evaluate and it evaluates you. The Holy Spirit is evaluating New Life all the time. It's evaluating why I chose to do certain things or why I do certain things or why you're doing something, what you're thinking about. You ever get thoughts that are not, that are simple thoughts? You got to say, Lord, where is that coming from? Or you just go with it anyway. A spiritual part of you will say, hey, we need to stop thinking like that. We need to stop talking like that. We need to be looking at what God wants out of this. Because the spiritual person, however, he can evaluate. The unspiritual person that doesn't have the Spirit of God cannot evaluate spiritual things. I think we struggle today. Everything that we kind of do is either in a cell phone or it's on a computer. It's all about what we see. We are so focused on what we see. And we look at it with our eyes, our flesh of our eyes. And it seems like sometimes we have stopped looking at things spiritually. And when you start looking at things spiritually, things start to look a little different. Because now you're starting to say, Lord, what does this look like to you? What does my life look like to you? What does my house look like to you? And I'm not talking about the siding or you got the asphalt roofing or you got a steel roof. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about you inside, those spiritual things inside that you're asking God to evaluate you. Where you say, Lord, what? I don't know why I'm feeling this way. I got these things going on with me. Anyway, listen, if you're not even talking to the Lord, you're going to struggle with whatever you're going through right now. If you're not talking to the Lord, you're going to struggle. Because spiritual things cannot be worked on in an unspiritual way. Spiritual things have to have and be worked on by the Spirit, which is the Spirit of God. When there's problems in a church, it can be in the flesh. People could do bad things, whatever it may be. There were some pretty bad things that were happening here. But Paul knew it was this. Although they were sinning and they did this, they did that, he knew when it came down to it, it was a spiritual problem, which becomes a sinful problem. We're trying to fix too many things in the way of just in the flesh, in the worldly way, and not fix the spiritual problems. Listen, when you get your spiritual life right, other things begin to get right. When you start walking in the Spirit, your eyes become more alert to things in the Spirit. If you have the gift of discernment and you haven't been able to use it for a while, maybe you're not walking in the ways of the Spirit. Gifts and talents depress and they go down when you're not using and you're not walking in the Spirit. Because they shine when you let the Spirit work through you. The Spirit is for us. God give it to us to help us, to guide us, to lead us. He chose the believers to receive His Spirit. What a gift the Holy Spirit is. And it cannot speak against God because it is God's Spirit. It will not speak against Christ because they're three in one. They are together. They have unity. They are three, but they are one. And we as believers are also called to be one with the Lord as well. What connects us? Jesus. We have salvation through Jesus Christ. But also we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit of God that dwells inside of us. It is a powerful thing. It is a powerful thing. So the spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything. And yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. You need to know today that you're a very important person. You're, in fact, a very powerful person. Because if you are living for the Lord, you have the Holy Spirit, you have salvation, you have the Holy Spirit. The Bible says you can understand spiritual things. Yeah. Now you may have to work it. You may have to pray. You may have to search. But there is that you're going to get it. And the Holy Spirit sometimes just reveals things. But sometimes he reveals it in a pattern or in time. But he will do that. And the Holy Spirit will let you understand and know things. And you need to know that the Holy Spirit isn't trying to keep things up from you. He's trying to reveal things for you. But when you're not trying to live spiritually, it's like there's just like a blind there. There's like a blind and we have a hard time seeing it. He says this, For who has known the Lord's mind that he may instruct him? Yeah. But he does say this, but we have the mind of Christ. What? Now you can't understand that. Unless you're spiritual. You cannot understand that unless you're spiritual. But we have the mind of Christ. Oh, Christ was perfect. How can I have the mind of Christ? That doesn't make any sense. Of course it doesn't make any sense if you're not spiritual. But when you're spiritual, you begin to understand, yes, Jesus Christ was perfect. But I'm not perfect. That's why I need the mind of Christ. That's why I need that. How do I get the mind of Christ? Oh, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is inside of me that works in my mind, that tells me, and works in my spirit that reveals things, spiritual things to me. Sometimes you can be in a room and you can be one part of a room, or even in the church, you can be one. You can be across a room, and all of a sudden, you can feel something like something dark in the room. All of a sudden, you feel something dark. You feel something that's not right. You feel something that's off. Something's off in the, maybe it's in a worship service and something's off and you're one of those that can be off in the corner and you go, man, I just feel like it's off today. Something's off to someone. And others can say, you know what? I just, I don't know, but it's just something's off. But then there's others that can say, I'll tell you when it came in, when so-and-so came in, darkness came in the house. How? Because spiritual things are defined by spiritual, by the Holy Spirit. You don't understand spiritual things unless you have the Spirit of God. Now for some folks, God has given spiritual gifts. And like, oh, I don't understand that. I don't believe that. Well, maybe I believe that we all have some level of discernment. I believe we all have some level of all of these things. Because God gives, we have all of that. The joy, all of that, the goodness, all that, that's fruits of the Spirit. But we also have the gifts and talents. We have a little bit of each, a little bit. Maybe some not. But there is some that each one of us have, that we have, that we can define, that we understand, that is sharp inside of us. Whether it's a teacher, whether it's preaching, whether it's with this hospitality, whether it's discernment, whatever it may be, you just excel in that area. You don't excel in that area because you're awesome. You excel in that area because the Holy Spirit is in you, has gifted you with a special gift, and you're allowing that spiritual gift to work inside of you, and you're allowing it to go out, and that's your part to do what that spiritual gift is pushing you, and the Spirit of God is pushing you to do. This church was struggling, folks. This church was struggling with some big things. But Paul didn't hold back. He said, it's time to understand me. You need to understand this. He says, you need to understand it. There's probably some people in the church that seem like they're spiritual, but they're not spiritual. This is why they don't understand some of the things that we're talking about. But the spiritual, those who are spiritual, they can evaluate everything. He was putting a line down the middle of the church saying, listen, there are people that know, but there are people that don't know. But it's all about this. You have to have the gospel. It is all about the gospel. It's all about the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is Jesus Christ. Birth, death, burial, resurrection. And Jesus kept telling them, kept telling his disciples, I gotta go. If I don't go, the Comforter will not come. The Helper will not come. Who was he talking about? He was talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus wanted his people to have the Holy Spirit. He even said, even when I go, you will even do more than I did. Because now the Holy Spirit, this wasn't him just going to be walking around. It was going to be all believers were going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And today, you that have Christ in your life, you have the Holy Spirit. I would challenge you to quit playing checkers in your life and start playing the game of chess. Which means you've got to stop moving so quick. And you've got to think about what you're doing. You've got to pray about what you're getting ready to do. You've got to search out the answers and spend some time with the Lord. Pray about these things. Work it out. Be faithful. Be found faithful before the Lord. Make your attendance in the church not every other week. Come on. Once every 3 weeks. Can you really? I'll ask you, how's your life going? Because I'll match it up with somebody that goes and says, I'm going to be in the church house every week. I'm going to do what I'm best. I'm going to lead before the Lord because the Lord leads my life, not me. Amen. I'm not talking about sick days and vacation. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about day in and day out, what are you doing? Are you asking God to jump on your bandwagon or are you saying, God, what do you have for me? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? What am I supposed to be doing? And sometimes we can get a loss and that's okay. We get into the fog and things get foggy in life. And we just like, Lord, we just stop. Just stop and say, Lord, I haven't felt you for a while. I haven't heard you for a while. I feel a little spiritually lost. The world would say, are you crazy? What are you talking about? And the world will tag it with things. Oh, you're depressed. Oh, you're discouraged. Oh, you got anxiety. I understand those are real things, but I'm going to tell you, it doesn't defy spiritual things. When you are away from the Lord, that's a spiritual problem, not a medical problem. When you haven't been praying, that is not a worldly problem. That is a spiritual problem. When you stop praying, that's not a worldly problem. That is a spiritual problem. When you are not serving and you're not worshiping and you're just out of the flow of doing all that, that's not a world-fixing moment. That is a spiritual problem. And folks, I think we got more spiritual problems than we think. We got problems, and we're trying to fix them in a worldly way. And the only way to fix a spiritual problem is to speak to the one who knows about spiritual problems and spiritual things, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one we talk least about, but he is so active. He's active in your life every day. Every day. Here's the thing that amazes me. God just thought, hey, I'm just going to, everybody that receives my son, I'm going to give him a little bit of me. He didn't give a little bit of himself. He gave a whole lot of himself, about as much as we could take. Because that's what it's going to take for us to be all that God called us to be. You know, when you came to the Lord and you said, Lord, I'm going to be everything. Thank you for saving me. I want to turn my whole life to you. And Lord, no, you couldn't do it. You want to do it, but you couldn't do it without his Spirit. Puts the Spirit right inside of you. Now you can do it. Now you can do all things through Christ. Now you can stand and say, hey, I can follow the Lord. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I understand that, that he that is in me is that Holy Spirit. Listen, you have everything you need to live a successful life, not in the world, but for the Lord. You just have to obey. You just have to follow. You have to just say when, where, how, when, what. What do you need, Lord? What do you want me to do? And the hardest part of it is we got to listen. Because we all like talk. We struggle with listening. Every coach believes they got a great team to win a game, right? The problem is guys aren't listening. Athletes are don't listen. I got it. I can do it my way. I can do it this way. Coaches are always saying, if you would have listened, same thing in parents. If you would have just listened, and God says, Holy Spirit, sometimes, if you would just listen. But the person without spirit, without the Spirit does not receive what comes from the, God's Spirit. The spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything. And now you know. The Holy Spirit that dwells inside of you is the Spirit of God. And that should make us shudder at times. That should make us a little bit nervous at times, understanding, knowing that God's Spirit, something holy, is inside of us. I don't know what it's like to be on the other side of seeing things that are the spiritual world, where demonic and angels and them move in the spiritual sense of things. But somehow they know who believers are. And I wonder if it's just them seeing there's God's Spirit over there. There's God, because it sure isn't, oh, yeah, look at that guy. Look how awesome he is. No. 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 I don't think that darkness wants us to understand the full value of the Holy Spirit. Because when we do and understand the value of the Holy Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit, then we begin to understand there's nothing that can stand in our way that God has called us to do. There's nothing that can stand in your way as an individual that God has purposed you for. God's Holy Spirit is amazing. And He's right inside of you as a believer. Now, if you don't have Christ, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You don't understand spiritual things. But what the Holy Spirit will do is open your mind to understand that you need Jesus. That you are lost and you're separated. And anything and after that comes, you must have Christ. You must receive Christ to receive anything that's spiritual and any understanding. So today, if you don't have Christ, I would challenge you to call upon the name of the Lord and ask Him. Call upon Him. Acknowledge that He is God and Jesus is the Son of God. But also, you that are believers today, if your walk isn't where it needs to be and you know, it's not because you know, it's because the Holy Spirit tells you. Convicts your heart and says, hey, we're not like we used to be. There's only one way to get it right. You know how that is? Spiritual things get fixed by spiritual things. Spiritual things, spiritual problems get resolved by doing it spiritually. Listening to the Holy Spirit, getting yourself right spiritually. The flesh stuff comes later. If this ain't right, nothing's right. And I'm not pointing to my heart, I'm talking to my spirit, to my soul, right in here. If this ain't right, nothing's right. And you know, you believers know this morning that when this ain't right, you feel it. It's like carrying a ton of weights. And some of us are stubborn and we'll keep doing it. But God is patient and He is long-suffering at times. And He'll say, okay, you do your thing. And when you break, you'll call out then. If you need to call out to the Lord today for spiritual things, the Holy Spirit. It's not what I'm saying today. It's what the Holy Spirit's already been working on you already. And what I'm saying today is just added to it. Because you already, if you got a spiritual problem, you already knew that before you came in the door. Father, we know today that spiritual things are evaluated by your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Father, for this church today. Because we need to get ourselves right spiritually. We need to work on our own selves individually. But even as a church, spiritually, we need to get right with you. I pray today that your Spirit would have your way in each one of our lives today, no matter what it may be. And for those and anyone here that doesn't have you, I pray, Father, that you would open them up spiritually, that you might convict their hearts, that they may need, that they need you in their life. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand.